I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Orla.
And I'm Andrea. Coming up on today's show, Greek singer Evangelia will join us to chat about performing in Montreal and her successful career. And the ladies from Mia Koopa will be here to share another great recipe with us.
But first, do you have good girl fatigue? Is this a recurring theme in a group of friends? Like when you're getting together for dinner and deciding where to eat, someone might say, I can go out, but I'm also fine ordering in. Someone else might respond, yeah, I'm good to stay in, but if anyone wants to go out, that's okay too. Well, this can, I'm sure, go on for quite a while. Are you a people pleaser? Joining us to chat more about good girl fatigue is Dr. Sharon Martin, a licensed psychotherapist and the author of the Better Boundaries workbook. She specializes in helping adult children recover from difficult childhoods, overcome people-pleasing and perfectionism, and learn to set boundaries. And you can find her online at livewellwithsharonmartin.com. Dr. Martin is on the line and joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Martin, first off, explain to us exactly what good girl fatigue is.
Sure. Good girl fatigue is the exhaustion or weariness that we feel as women as a result of societal expectations that we are supposed to be agreeable, pleasant, considerate, polite, self-sacrificing. And we simply get exhausted from constantly trying to be perfect and to please others all of the time.
So I would imagine this must start at a pretty young age with the messaging that we give to little girls. Am I right?
Absolutely. It absolutely does. When we're very small, we're taught that we need to be caring for other people's needs. And we're praised for being quiet, obedient, polite, again, taking care of others. And so we internalize those messages and those expectations, and then we start to conflate those quote-unquote good girl behaviors with being a good or worthwhile person. And so we continue to get those messages, of course, throughout our lives. We, you know, look at the media and society at large and our institutions, and we absolutely see that we continue to tell women and girls that this is the way you're supposed to behave. And if you don't, you know, you're not a good girl. And that's a terrible thing. So we continue to put this pressure on ourselves. So we're getting it both from inside and outside. Huge pressure. And that's exactly why we've got the fatigue, right? It's so much. We can't handle it.
But I also, Dr. Martin, I feel like it often comes down to, obviously messaging like you're saying, but it's also reactions from people, right? Like I can watch my husband be in the same situation as me and push back against something. And it's like people react in a different way rather, you know, for women, I think often people assume that, you know, we're being arrogant in some way, or it's just not as received when you do try to establish those boundaries. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's sort of the messaging in action, I would say. That's the result of, you know, that boundary setting, like you're saying, that maybe a man does the same thing and it's considered assertive or it's good leadership, and a woman does it and it's bossy or overbearing,
right,
or, you know, some other negative connotation when it's literally the same behavior.
Dr. Martin, why do you think people suffer from this and can't seem to get out of it?
Well, again, I think we suffer from it because there is so much pressure and it's unrealistic expectations. And that's really what the suffering comes down to, is that it's not possible to live up to this good girl image. We're really talking about a lot of perfectionism that's part of it. And that by definition is unrealistic expectations, because of course we can't be perfect. We can't please everybody all of the time. That's impossible. But we set ourselves up with that expectation, and so do other people. And then we're constantly disappointing everybody. We feel like we're never enough. it's never good enough. And so then we're constantly doing more, pushing ourselves harder. And then we get all of this negative, downside because of that, because we're not taking care of ourselves. We're constantly feeling like it's not good enough. So there's no self-care. We're not prioritizing our own needs. We're always thinking about other people instead of ourselves.
So how do we break the cycle?
Well, that's a good question. And I think, as you have pointed out, there's really, twofold to this. Generally, we think about, well, what can I do as an individual? And I can start to learn to behave in some different ways and to tolerate some of the discomfort that is going to come along with, at least initially, maybe some pushback from people when you set those boundaries or disappointing some people. But you're also talking about, that there are larger things at work here, right? Sort of societal messages and ideas and expectations. And those, of course, are harder to change, but not impossible, especially, I think, when we work together and collectively, intentionally try to have some different messaging for girls and for women. But in terms of what we can do, maybe in the short term, immediately as individual women, right, we can definitely learn how to set better boundaries, to be able to say no and have priorities for ourselves. We can ask for help. We can work on accepting ourselves just the way that we are, rather than getting into those perfectionist tendencies. And we can do things like prioritizing self-care, making time for activities that are fulfilling and interesting to us, and certainly speaking up when we feel like we're being taken advantage of or mistreated. So those would be some of the things that we could think about starting with, at least.
You're listening to Now Trending. I'm Orla alongside Andrea, and we are chatting with Dr. Sharon Martin, a licensed psychotherapist and the author of The Better Boundaries Workbook, about good girl fatigue or people pleasing. Dr. Martin, do you also think that it's also, I think, a case of confidence? Because if you're a person that doesn't have the confidence to change and recognize, what you're doing has to change, there's that has to be looked at before, right?
Yeah, I think that's true. Most changes is we need to have the self-awareness, right? That something, to be able to identify what the problem is so that then we can target changing some specific behaviors or some certain ways of thinking about things. Absolutely. We need to first identify, like, okay, this is what it is that's making me so tired and so unfulfilled in my life. And then I can go about trying to make some changes.
So just before we let you go, if anyone listening thinks, I think I am a people pleaser, I think I have good girl fatigue, what would be some of the key symptoms that people could look to recognize within themselves?
Yes, so we want to think about perfectionism. So that's the idea that you're thinking that you need to excel or be perfect in all aspects of your life in order to meet society's expectations. And then that people-pleasing piece that we keep talking about, that's about prioritizing other people's needs above your own. So that might include things like being afraid of saying no and setting boundaries, or having difficulty making decisions or speaking your mind, having your own opinions about things. It might also include feelings of inadequacy. And then certainly back to the idea of exhaustion and burnout, because as I have mentioned, there's that lack of self-care. And just people-pleasing and perfectionism takes a physical and a mental toll on us. It's a lot of work to always be thinking about what do other people need and how can I make them happy.
Yes. And it's such a weight lifted off your shoulders when you have the attitude, I don't care what anyone thinks. This is what I think and this is how I'm going to be.
Yeah. And really what we forget is that a lot of times we're overestimating how upset other people are going to be. We think they're going to be terribly upset or disappointed if we do something that's, a little bit off or something that they don't like. And the reality is a lot of times it's not that bad. Or if there is a little something, it can be repaired in a relationship. And
right.
So a lot of this does get into our head that we're thinking, oh my gosh, they're going to hate me. And that's usually not the case.
Right, right. Dr. Martin, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. That's Dr. Sharon Martin, psychotherapist and author of the Better Boundaries workbook. Coming up, what will all the traditional Greeks be eating tomorrow? But first, let's take a look at the roads.
Welcome back. I'm Andrea, along with Orla. Well, tomorrow is March 25th, which is apparently a very important day in Greece. And if you like to abide by traditions, we've got a great recipe coming up for you. Joining us now to chat about this are the ladies from the popular Greek food blog, Mia Koupa, Helen, and Billy Bitzes. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
So tell us a little bit about this dish and why it is eaten in Greece tomorrow.
So tomorrow is a really special day in Greece. It's actually a holiday that is both religious and it has political significance. So on the religious side, it's the commemoration of the day that the Virgin Mary received the message from the Archangel Gabriel telling her that she was the chosen one that would be the mother of Jesus Christ. So that is the really important religious significance. At the same time, it's a political day because it marks the Greek Independence Day, which is, of course, on March 25th. So this falls usually during the period of Great Lent, which is the period of fasting before Greek Orthodox Easter. And this is one of the 2 days that the strict fast is lifted and fish is permitted to be eaten, which is why Greeks everywhere celebrate the day by eating a very traditional dish of bakalyaro, or salted cod, and skordalia, which is a very garlicky mashed potato kind of spread.
Yes, my mother actually does a very garlicky mashed potato. It's always on the table on Sundays. But tell us how we cook the salted cod, Greek style.
Well, the cod that we use in this recipe, it's boneless, it's dry, it's salted cod without skin. It's not very easy to find, but if you go to a Mediterranean grocery store, or sometimes Costco even sells it, you can find it there. And so because the fish is preserved in salt, it does need some planning in order to prepare it.
Okay.
So you have to rinse it very well, and then you have to soak it in a bowl of cold water for at least 24 hours, changing the water a few times during that time. And prior to soaking your cod, you really need to cut it into serving size pieces, so it's just easier to soak. And you're going to notice that. Yeah, go ahead.
So let me ask you a question then. You know,
sure.
Traditionally, years and years ago, you know, women, as I'm sure they were the ones preparing it, let's just be honest here, had all the time to do this preparation. But nowadays, you know, women work, everyone's busy. Is there a way that we can skip a couple of steps?
You can actually make the dish with fresh cod.
Yes.
But the soaking really doesn't take much time. It just needs a little bit of planning. But you can certainly make the dish with fresh cod, which is what I sometimes do because I forget to salt my cod. if Helen doesn't remind me, off to the market for fresh cod.
So let's say you are making it and you have, you know, gone through all of the steps and soaked the cod. What are we doing after that?
What you're going to do is you're going to just dry it. You're going to take a bowl of flour, which has a little bit of pepper in it, and you're just going to, you know, put the fish inside the flour. You're just going to kind of like coat it, and you're just going to fry it. You simply fry it in vegetable oil. It takes about total 15 minutes before, you know, both sides get nice and browned. So it's a lot of downtime, but the actual cooking doesn't take long.
So by actually salting the cod, is there a change in flavor, a change in texture, a change in, you know, how it comes out from cooking? What is the influence and the benefits of adding and salting cod for so many days?
Well, the cod is salted as a way to preserve it. So cod is actually not available in the waters around Greece. So the salted cod came to Greece through merchants that were getting it from the European countries that kind of were along the coastline of the Atlantic. And they would bring it inland because fresh fish wasn't available. And that's where that sort of tradition has carried on. So by preserving the cod, you can keep it for months, you can keep it even for years. And the texture becomes a little firmer, a little more, certainly salty. No matter how long you soak the cod, you're still going to have a remnant of that, you know, salty taste. And it isn't quite as light and flaky as fresh cod is, but it's really quite delicious and holds up very well to the frying.
And I would imagine because it's like a thinner, whiter fish, that it doesn't take a long time to cook, does it?
No,
not at all.
A few minutes.
Okay, so once we fried it up, what are we serving with it then at that point?
Typically, the dish that the side dish that we serve with it is called scordalia, which is like a mash, a garlic mash. And the key ingredient, of course, is garlic, a lot of garlic. We use one head of garlic.
Yeah. I think there's more garlic in it than mash, to be honest.
Seriously.
It's great on a first date.
Yeah, I was going to say everybody at the table
goodness.
Better be eating.
It comes with a warning.
You're listening to Now Trending. I'm Orla alongside Andrea, and we are chatting with Helen and Billy Bitsas from the popular Greek food blog Mia Koupa, because tomorrow is March 25th and a very important day in Greece that everybody is abide, well, not everybody, but some people will abide by with the tradition. So let's switch gears a bit here, Helen and Billy. The national dish of Greece is moussaka. How do we make it? My mother-in-law makes a fantastic moussaka.
You're very lucky. It's a great dish. It's actually the first recipe that we posted on our website.
Oh, cool.
Because it is such a classic Greek dish. There are many ways to make it. There are many different versions. Our version is a little bit different in that our parents taught us not to fry the eggplant. So instead of frying the eggplant, we slice it really thin and we broil it. So moussaka is basically a layered dish of ground beef or a meat sauce, eggplant, sliced rounds of fried potato, and it's topped with a bechamel sauce. Some people add layers of zucchini as well. We don't, but you certainly can. And the bechamel that we make is a little different as well, because unlike many recipes where they use butter and add cheese to the bechamel, our bechamel sauce is made with olive oil. So it gives it a really light but still creamy and rich texture and flavor. So it's really a beautiful dish to make. Many people think it's really hard because there are so many components. But in fact, if you plan ahead, you can even make this during the weeknight. If you have your different components ready from the night before, then you assemble, you make your bechamel, you bake, and dinner is served.
Adding the olive oil instead of the butter, does that make it a bit lighter?
It does. Yes.
Yeah, it makes it lighter. It gives it a different flavor as well. And if
yes.
you are lactose intolerant or avoiding dairy for any reason, it's a great alternative. We actually prefer it this way. I mean, this is what we're used to for sure, but so we're a little biased, but we prefer it that way.
Yes, I love the fluffiness of the bechamel sauce on top of the moussaka. My mother-in-law does. It's just so good. And you know what? I love leftovers. So reheating that up is amazing. And then I just add loads of green vegetables to it. Love
yes,
it.
Yes, amazing.
Just before we let you go, you know, I married into a Greek family. There is so much tradition around food in Greece. Why is that, in your own words?
I think it has to do with, you know, the Greeks have a term called philotimo, which is doing well for others, being welcoming, and food is part of that. It's very rare to go into a Greek home and not be offered something to eat, whether it's a meal or a little treat or something called ghliko tou koutaliou, which is like a spoon sweet that everyone has in their pantry. It's a way to connect. It's a way to share history. It's a way to share stories. It's fundamental. You sit around a table talking and drinking and wonderful things can happen.
Oh, ladies, it's always such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing these recipes with us today.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
Those are the ladies from the popular Greek food blog, Mia Kupa, Helen, and Billy Bitsis. So we're going to keep you coming up after the break in Greece. Greek singer Evangelia is going to join us. But first, the latest from the CTV Montreal newsroom.
My heart is tripping on a wire. Catch myself falling in the fire. Don't want to let you know. Don't want to lose control. Is it the way you speak? The way that you look at me? How'd you get my attention? It's not what I'm looking for. Just cause we're on the floor, don't get the wrong impression. Φωτιά μες στα μάτια σου. It's all in the way that we move. I know that you feel it too.
Orla alongside Andrea, and that's our next guest, Greek-American artist born in the US, raised from the island of Crete and New Jersey, and also half Italian. That is the Greek singer Evangelia. Welcome to the show, Evangelia.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. Congratulations. love your music.
Thank you so much.
Now, I do actually remember having the pleasure of seeing you in concert here in Montreal at the end of last year. And before your career as an artist, you were a teacher in New Jersey. And then when the pandemic hit, you decided to take a complete career pivot, move to LA and pursue your passion of music. So tell us about some of your musical achievements that, you know, have been such a great success in such a short period of time.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Well, I think the fact that I'm even here and talking to you guys is pretty wild when I look back and think about my days in the classroom, which if I wasn't doing music, I would be a teacher. It's something I am passionate about and truly enjoyed. But I always had this fire in me and this desire to really like see what would happen if I could go and give it 100% of my 100% of my time. And what happened was there were budget cuts in the school district, and I was one of the young teachers and lost my job along with many others. And I just decided, like, okay, this is a sign from the universe, and I'm just going to go for it. And things started to fall into place from there. Like when I saw you, or when you, we did see each other in yes. Montreal at the end of last year. I got to go on tour opening for Costantino Sargiros, who's literally the biggest superstar, one of the biggest superstars to ever happen in Greece and around the world. And I got to open on his entire North American tour, including playing at Barclay Center in Brooklyn, the Dolby Theater where the Oscars are held in Los Angeles. And we went to you guys in Montreal. It was just an incredible experience and crazy to be able to say that I've played those venues alongside, you know, an iconic artist. I've gotten to also do a duet version of my song Fotia in Greek with Eleni Fureira, who's like the queen of Europe. She got second place in Eurovision in 2018, and she's beloved and amazing and incredible. And she heard my song and she requested to do it in Greek with me. And it then became this big radio hit, and I've gotten to go on tour and play all around the world. So it's been the dream. The dream is coming true. It's always a grind, but it's, but things are happening. And now I'm about to embark on my biggest North American headlining tour that I've ever done. So I'm really, really looking forward to coming back to Montreal now, kind of on my own terms, let's say.
That's amazing. So you must have been singing before while you were teaching, right? Like this, there, I would imagine, okay, prior to making this transition. But how quickly did things start to fall in place for you?
Yeah, so when I was a teacher, I would always joke around like the Hannah Montana life. I would teach by day, and by night I was running around New York City and studios, writing, recording, performing, networking, like everything. And then it was basically 2 months later, after I was laid off and decided to focus and just see what happened if I put all my energies towards music, I met Jay Stolar, who's now my life partner, boyfriend and everything, but also executive producer and co-writer, and we create all the music together. I met him 2 months later, and at first we avoided working together, and we were like, this is you know, we're not going to risk it for our relationship. But there was just no denying that there was creative chemistry as well. So we were like, you know what, let's just give this a go. And I always had the idea of incorporating Greek elements in my music. And he loved that too, because for me, it was just like, if I'm going to really do this and focus, I need to do something that feels authentic to me and is true. And I'm somebody who grew up between these two worlds of Greece and the U.S. And so blending that in my music made sense. And we just got into the studio and started creating with that mindset. And then the following summer, we got in touch with the CEO of Sony Germany, Patrick Mushatsi-Kareba. And he heard my two demos and loved them and signed me, basically.
Wow. So, congratulations.
I mean, thank you.
It's incredible. You're listening to Now Trending. I'm Orla alongside Andrea, and we are chatting with Greek singer Evangelia. So let's talk about your new single that has been written in Los Angeles with top writers and producers known for their work with Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, Dua Lipa, Carly Rae Jepsen, mm-hmm. the Barbie soundtrack. Tell us about your new single. When is it coming out? Where did the inspiration come from?
So the latest single is called California Lullaby, and it's a song that came to be in the California desert in Joshua Tree, when Jay and I basically ran off to Joshua Tree to like take a break from the world, honestly, and just write for fun. And then this song kind of fell out of us. And so we wrote the song California Lullaby about like the idea of like pursuing your dream and finding somebody who typically you wouldn't think you belonged together. Like Jay and I are from two very different worlds. I speak Greek. He doesn't. But somehow it works. And that's what that song is about. And once we wrote it, we brought in, you know, our team of amazing people that you just listed out to help us bring it to life even further.
And I understand that you have an upcoming Montreal date where people can come see you.
Yes. Yes. I'm so excited to come back to Montreal. I love your city. And I love it, especially not in the winter, I have to say.
Me too. Me too, Evangelia. Trust me.
I've been in the winter. It's a little too cold for me. It's so beautiful and amazing. But I'm really looking forward to coming in May. I'm going to be there on May 12th at Barley Ritz PDB. And it's going to be my first headlining show in Montreal. So I'm super, super excited.
Well, we are super excited to see you, because me marrying into a Greek family, I go to all these concerts. I mean, I don't even know how British I am anymore. I Greek dance.
You should see her dance moves. They're amazing.
I go to the Greek concerts. I don't know what's happening to me, but you are amazing, Evangelia. I've seen you on the stage. I've seen your presence on the stage. I've seen your crazy, wild, beautiful costumes. Love the costumes. It's also incredibly different and colorful. I love that about you. Let's play out with your new single, California Lullaby. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to seeing you in May.
Absolutely. We'll see you there. That's Greek singer Evangelia. Coming up, bed rotting. Andrea, do you do it? Is it good or bad for you? Well, that's next. But first, let's take a look at the roads.
Welcome back. Happy Sunday afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Andrea, and there's Orla. So, Orla, I'm scared to ask. Going into the break, you asked me if I, what was it, bed rotting? Please elaborate. What is bed rotting?
Yes, Andrea, bed rotting.
I think I'm scared to ask. What is this? Sounds horrible.
I want to know if you bed rot.
I don't know. I hope not. What is it?
Bed rotting, or staying in bed all day, apparently has been touted as a self-care routine.
Oh, come on. You know I don't bed rot. He's with small children. Anyways, okay. Self-care?
Well, this has been touted as a self-care routine on TikTok, but it might actually make you feel worse. According to, edit that bit. Now, as you and I know, Andrea, I mean, it can be very tempting on long gray months to hibernate, okay? But bed rotting, apparently, is the internet's new favorite inactive activity. I know, it sounds like gross, right? It just sounds gross. So choosing to bed rot is a very popular TikTok mental health trend associated with reclaiming time that might otherwise be spent on working, exercising, studying, or other productive activities. And it may actually mean you opt to stay in bed from sunrise sunset.
Come on.
Or even for the whole weekend, only leaving the bed to use the bathroom, get food, retrieve other essentials. And some rotters are report feeling rejuvenated afterwards. Now, it's very interesting, this whole article. I mean, sometimes I long to just lie in bed and no, I don't have to get up and feed people, animals. I don't have to get up and do anything. I mean, you know, I'm sure in about 10 years, that's what I'll be able to bed rot, but not now. But apparently, there are many problems associated with this when it comes to your sleep. So if you are bed rotting, okay, for the whole weekend and think this is the best thing for you, think otherwise. Fiona Barrick, a clinical associate professor at the Stanford University School of Medicine, says bed rotting can scramble your internal clock and it's going to have a backlash in the form of fatigue and higher levels of stress from facing duties we have only temporarily escaped. So while it might sound great to go hide in your bed for the whole weekend and not come out and see daylight, and you think it's good, this possibly could be having a complete 180 negative effect on you.
Shocking, really. I mean, come on. Listen, we've all been there, right? We've all had that day where you're like, I don't want to get out of bed. It would be such a dream to stay in this bed all day. But have you ever, I haven't, I don't think I can think of a day unless I've had like food poisoning or something.
Food poisoning? Try hangover. I remember, let's just like call it how it is. I remember at university Sunday, oh my goodness. I mean, Sunday we used to just chill. We used to chill, watch movies, order in. You could be having a hangover. But I find as you get older, there are so many other things that you want to achieve to make you feel good. I can't bed rot. But this is becoming a huge mental health trend. It's unbelievable. It's crazy.
Well, listen, I think there is something to be said about, you know, the more on the go and the busier you are, sometimes it's more difficult, right, to take that step back and be able to relax. So I can see how, you know, if you're constantly on the go, taking that downtime can be beneficial. I think somebody needs to rename this. It really does not sound appealing.
Now, Andrea, anybody that follows you on Instagram, I am so impressed with you. You are like the next Lindsay Vaughn, I have to say.
Nice, lovey. Thank you.
I really appreciate the fact that you are out there. Rain, shine, sleet, snow, hail. Doing your skiing and your outdoor activities. Now, I want to ask you, you know, I don't mind going outside, but for anybody thinking they would love to follow in the footsteps, any advice for battling this cold weather to get outside and do some outdoor activities?
Well, listen, I think we were pretty fortunate that we did have a mild enough winter. And again, you know, it always just comes down to the right gear and dressing yourself properly, right? It's, and heaters, I mean, even, you know, listen, I have boot heaters in my snowboarding boots, but even just those hot paw hand warmers go a really long way, making sure you're in the right layers. I mean, none of it's rocket science. And I guess just getting outside. I think sometimes it's just a matter of getting there. That's half the battle. And for me, if we're talking about mental health, that's one of the things that I find the most benefit from is spending time outside, even on the days that I don't feel like doing it. It's just, I don't know. I always feel better, you know, after whether it's snowboarding or just like even just going for a hike or a walk outside. You know, you have a dog, right, Orla?
Yeah.
Like, we have to go outside, right?
We have to
dog
go
owners
out.
Have to
we
go
have
outside.
To go out.
And I never want to do it first thing in the morning. But right. after I come back, I feel so much better. It's just that fresh air.
Yes, your mind feels clearer. You feel rejuvenated. I mean, I have to say, you should see me. I look like the abominable snowman when I go out in the winter. I mean, even now, I still think this is pretty nippy. And the sun is shining. And I'm done up and all you can see is the end of my nose. But I do have to say, going out in the fresh air, keeping active is definitely something I would probably opt for before the bed rotting.
To each their own. But yeah, I'm with you.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for spending part of your Sunday with us. We'll be back at the same time next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Now Trending Show. Have a fabulous week.